COVID-19 vaccinations are getting into more arms each week in western Wisconsin, yet the levels of vaccinations are uneven. For instance, Eau Claire and Washburn counties have 19% of their populations fully vaccinated, but Rusk and Taylor County have had only 10% get their second shot. Last week, Governor Evers announced that a Federal Emergency Management Agency mass vaccination clinic would be established in Zorn Arena at UW-Eau Claire next month in another step to squash the devastating impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on our society and our economy. What impact will that have on getting back to normal, and will it be enough to save a tourism and hospitality economy that's already rocked to its core? Vaccinations and tourism are topics today on the West Side. Good morning, I'm Dean Kallenbach. Later in the hour, we'll be joined by Benny Anderson of Visit Eau Claire and Michelle Martin of the Washburn County Tourism Association to preview the upcoming spring and summer tourism seasons as we continue to wrestle down the pandemic. Also, I invite you to stay with us to the end of the show today for an exciting announcement about the future of this program. First, I want to bring in Lisa Giese. She's the director of the Eau Claire City County Health Department to give us an update on efforts to combat the coronavirus here in western Wisconsin. She wasn't able to join us live today. I talked to her Wednesday afternoon, and I opened by asking her to give us a snapshot of her department's focus right now when it comes to the pandemic.
First, I would say that we continue to work on following up on positive cases and trying to keep those case numbers as low as possible. So our case numbers are remaining low. That is good news, but we also are doing a lot of work to support entities, schools, businesses, and others to keep practices in place that will keep disease spread slow. We are watching the variant strain spreading in Minnesota right now, for example, and in Michigan, neighboring states. And we really want to work to make sure that we are on top of disease spread as quickly and efficiently as possible. So that remains a critically important part of our work. And I think everybody is likely aware that vaccination is the hopeful and enormous effort that we are walking through now. So we work with all of the vaccinators across the Chippewa Valley to make sure that together we are making it as easy as possible for anybody eligible to get a vaccine to be able to get in. And that's vaccinators that include pharmacies and healthcare and the health department mass vaccination efforts. And now, in the last couple of weeks, we have been working with state and federal partners to bring the FEMA site or the federal site here into the Chippewa Valley for a regional effort around vaccination at Zorn Arena. So that's a partnership with UW-Eau Claire, with the state, and with FEMA, along with our health department. So that's also an enormous effort in the current time.
Yeah, that was the big announcement last week. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, is setting up a large immunization center. April 8th, I think, is the target date for Eau Claire. What is that going to be about, and how was your agency involved?
So the FEMA site is one of a few sites across the state of Wisconsin that are being started or have started already to really provide a large volume of vaccine in one location for a quick throughput in getting vaccines in arms quickly. The plan is to start on April 8th with 3,500 doses, first doses available per week, so 700 a day, 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday. And we will be going up in volume from there. So it will be an opportunity to have a larger volume throughput at a vaccination site in a consistent way. We've had many large vaccinators, including the health department at our North and Memorial clinics, but we haven't had a consistent enough vaccine to make that happen 5 days a week to date. So this model will guarantee us, frankly, that much vaccine coming into Eau Claire County and into the Chippewa Valley every week. And that's good news. Health department involvement is that this is a Eau Claire City County Health Department run clinic with support from FEMA and from UW-Eau Claire. So it will be one of our clinical sites that has considerable FEMA staffing support, has vaccine from the state, and has considerable staffing support and logistical support and site support from UW-Eau Claire. So very much a shared model. And our job at the health department is to make sure that all of those pieces work together in a unified way to get vaccines and arms as we move forward.
Will people outside Eau Claire County be able to take advantage of this, of that FEMA clinic?
Yes, absolutely. This FEMA site is being placed in Eau Claire as a regional asset. The FEMA decision makers really looked for locations across the state for their resources to be deployed in a way that could get a large number of people potentially through. So the Milwaukee site is an example where we obviously know the population is very large there and a logical location there. The site in Eau Claire was really named by FEMA as a regional site. So it is available for people across the large regional area. The assumption in planning that by FEMA was that people would likely, especially as all eligible groups are able to get vaccine, as soon as everybody is able to get vaccine, that people may be willing to drive to do that. It is a place that will have regular vaccine and regular hours and a regular appointment schedule guaranteed. So really anyone in the area, any Wisconsin resident that can make it to Eau Claire is encouraged to be part of that.
People like me who've been trying to, you know, and journalists everywhere who've been trying to report on this story, a lot of the thing we hang our hat on is numbers and, you know, whether it's infection rates or hospitalizations or whatever. And the number that we seem to be paying the most attention to now has to do with vaccination rates. And we have seen some fairly significant discrepancies for vaccination rates from county to county, even here in western Wisconsin. Any sense of the cause for that? And are you aware of any efforts to try to level that out?
That's an important question. Now, at a national level, they're looking at that discrepancy across the nation, and certainly in Wisconsin, we are paying very close attention, not only from a jurisdictional level, counties that have different rates of vaccine, but also populations. So certainly paying attention to those individuals that have had differing outcomes related to COVID-19, particularly those with racial equity issues, has been an important conversation. At a state level, the vaccine distribution plan is partially including factors related to uneven rates of vaccine between counties in their planned distribution as they move forward at a state level. And again, that's a state decision how much vaccine comes into each vaccinator and into each jurisdiction. So it is my understanding that the state continues to work through trying to make sure that vaccine is available in every part of the state. The reason that the rates are different is multifaceted. In some cases, it's because the eligible populations are different in different counties. In other cases, it's because the vaccine providers are not as plentiful in some areas as in others. And certainly uptake in different parts of the state is also a factor, but all of those together are pieces that local health departments and state health department are working together to try and make sure that we have easy access in every corner of the state.
Talking with Lisa Giese, she's the director for the Eau Claire County and City Health Departments. A few days ago, and it was announced that they were moving up the eligibility date for people with underlying conditions from March 29th to the 22nd, which was this past Monday. Has there been any measure, or have we seen that people with underlying conditions have been taking advantage of that new eligibility this week?
Yeah, I think really good news for people that those underlying conditions were added to the eligibility group list as of this past Monday. We are seeing across the Chippewa Valley that those appointments for vaccine by all vaccine providers have been hot commodities this week. And so we are seeing those newly eligible groups having interest in and getting vaccine appointments. We know probably about 70% of our population is eligible because of those new eligibility categories. And in some cases, it will take a bit of time before people are able to get appointments. But we do know that our healthcare providers in the Chippewa Valley, we heard that this morning in a group conversation, that they are working through their client list. So those people that are seeing a physician within our provider within one of our healthcare networks are getting connected with to offer vaccine to that group. We are sending lots of public information out about all of the vaccine options for the currently eligible group. And we are really encouraging people that are currently eligible to continue to go to our website, the COVID-19 Eau Claire website, and click on that I want a vaccine tab to get to all of the options in Eau Claire where you can get a vaccine. Certainly the newly eligible group with health conditions, we encourage you to consider going to the entity where you typically get care, but there are also other options and we want you to get vaccinated.
Early in the pandemic, one of the big challenges was the inability to test large groups. Testing was hard to come by. Distribution was uneven. What is your department suggesting about testing at this time? Should everyone be getting tested now?
So testing is continues to be an important strategy. So testing is part of what we will do to make sure that we know if we have, for example, variant strain in our community that is spreading. So we do need to continue to pay close attention to testing being available. And in the Chippewa Valley, again, testing is readily available through healthcare providers primarily, but in other spaces as well. Again, that's something that you can find on our website. We do want anybody that has any level of symptoms that are connected to COVID-19 to get tested. We also need anybody that has been in close contact with an individual that has tested positive to also get tested. That helps us understand and slow down the spread of disease quickly from that first layer out of people that were potentially exposed from a positive case. And then those individuals that are, because of work requirements, because of their personal choices, in situations where they are in close contact with a variety of individuals that they don't know their status for COVID-19, we encourage that group also to get regularly tested. And again, there are a variety of avenues to get tested. The UW-Eau Claire antigen testing program continues to exist. We have online testing available that you can request a test kit through the state and receive that free of charge and be tested in that way. And again, healthcare providers are testing as well. Testing continues to be critically important.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of commentary in the last few days. It's a year ago this week that the state set up the Safer at Home directive, or Safer at Home directive from the governor's office. Thinking back to your life as a public health director in March of last year, how has this changed your work and how has it changed your life?
Well, I think certainly a year ago, most health department directors at a local level were knowing that this was going to be big. We've been preparing for years for a very large pandemic, and we knew it was going to have a significant impact on everybody in our community, including all people working in local public health. It's been longer and larger of an effort than many of us even imagined back a year ago. I think all of us personally have really seen our staff and our partners have challenges. It's been a long effort. And I think at the same time that we've noticed those challenges of a very large and critically important response effort, we've also seen just an amazing outpouring in this community of partnership. And I continue to really focus on that. Yes, it's been hard personally and professionally, and yes, it's been absolutely amazing how many have come to the table and continue to come to the table to work together to keep our community as safe and healthy as possible in all ways that that is defined.
Are there things about the response to the pandemic that you think have changed public health departments like yours, how you operate in the future? Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that is notable to me related to what one of the things that we've learned, and we'll be spending a lot of time on this as we hopefully get a lot of people vaccinated and can work on really our what we call an after action report, but that kind of thinking through what could be different and better. I think one of the things that has been considerably different in this response than was planned for is, first of all, the length of it. And so really thinking through as a local health department director, how in the future, if we have these big events, do we create situations to make that easier to pivot? And then I think the continued need to really think about how do we partner across the community on messaging and on policy, I think remains important. Again, I think this community has done really well with the partnership, but we've also learned a lot. I think we couldn't have done the work we did without existing relationships, but there's always work to be done there.
Lisa Kesey, thank you for the work you do, and thanks for the time today.
Thank you very much, Dean, and thanks for the opportunity to talk with you.
Lisa Kesey is director of the Eau Claire City County Health Department. I talked to her Wednesday afternoon. So with the spring comes hopefulness that the vaccines will move us back towards more opportunities to use the word social to describe something other than distancing and media. But if that holds true, will that hopefulness come to those in the travel and hospitality industries as we move into the spring and summer? Joining us next will be Michelle Martin of the Washburn County Tourism Association and Benny Anderson of Visit Eau Claire. Let's open up the phone lines now. Would you consider attending festivals or concerts this spring or summer? Or is the risk of being at a super spreader event just too high for you? Join us with your thoughts, comments, questions at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or join by email at ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back on the West Side talking about the anniversary of Safer at Home, and specifically in this segment about the outlook for Western Wisconsin spring and summer tourism seasons. To help us with all that, we welcome back two individuals who joined us on this very same topic exactly 52 weeks ago. Benny Anderson is executive director for the Eau Claire Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, better known as Visit Eau Claire. Benny Anderson, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dean.
And also with us from Spooner is Michelle Martin, Executive Director of the Washburn County Tourism Association. Michelle Martin, good to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Dean. Glad to be here.
Benny Anderson, let's talk first about Visit Eau Claire. The Chippewa Valley has a diverse economy, but tourism is certainly a significant part. And a lot of that community, much of what the community has become known for are the music festivals. They didn't happen last year. And so what was the impact of those cancellations?
You know, it was a huge impact. When you have as many, you know, music festivals as we have, and then all of the other events on top of it, we saw room tax down about 55% to 60% over the course of the summer. And it was during some of our biggest months. So there was definitely a huge impact felt to not only the hotels, but the restaurants and the attractions and jobs in general. And we're ever so excited to get them back this year.
We've seen some arts organizations start to bring audiences back at 25% capacity, for instance, but part of the traditions of these music festivals is packing hundreds of people in one place, including tightly spaced campsites in some cases. Can the festivals return this year while still meeting CDC guidelines?
You know, I believe that, you know, as we get through all of this, that yes, we will see the ability to do safe tourism and safe events. We've worked with the Chippewa Valley Economic Recovery Task Force and the health department and a lot of other entities to do things the safe way for tourism the entire way through, and we intend to finish that job. So we've been having meetings with, you know, these events, all of the events, and the health department to say, you know, what does this event need to look like to be safe? given our current amazing vaccination rates and the things that we know now? And how can we continue to support these businesses and our economy and the events without putting our people at risk? But yeah, we do believe that there is a path forward, and it starts with vaccination. You know, our joke is that you can't spell vacation, or you can't spell vaccination without the words vacation.
I love
you know,
it.
But we believe there's a path forward in that collaborative fashion.
Man, if you haven't ordered those t-shirts yet, you know, that's a winner, I think.
There's another one. My wife and I got our first round of vaccine this last week at the same time. And we also said, you can't spell vaccinated without date night. It was the most absurd, but most amazing date night we had in a year.
Kind of meaningful too. Yeah. That's the voice of Benny Anderson. He's the executive director of Visit Eau Claire. We're talking about tourism, summer and the spring and summer tourism seasons in this second year of COVID-19. The number to join us is 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Michelle Martin, Washburn County, as compared to the Eau Claire area, does really rely on tourism for a significant portion of its economy. How did the businesses in your association manage in 2020?
I'll tell you, it was quite a mix for us up in Washburn County. So the one thing that we really had going for us truly is that outdoor recreation is our number one driver of tourism. We have nearly 1,000 lakes in the county, hundreds of miles of trails, tons of campgrounds, cabins. So while we thought we were going to be, you know, maybe a little slow this summer, we actually saw an influx of people. And it was very interesting, especially since most of our marketing was really on a pause. We were working very closely with our public health department, that sort of thing. And we really saw a lot of our outdoor rec businesses doing amazing, while other businesses unfortunately really suffered. So we actually experienced quite an interesting mix, and a lot of that just being our rural destination. A lot of people felt that we were a safe place to travel, so they were traveling no matter what. No matter what the guidance was, you know, so that was kind of an interesting and a little scary at times on how to best handle that and make sure that people are being safe and that we could keep them safe and still keep our businesses afloat. So
last year at this time, county officials were asking people to stay away, to avoid coming to their summer homes in your area. How does that compare with the messaging that's happening this spring?
You know, I have not heard any of that messaging so far this spring. I'm really, really hopeful with the vaccination rollout and the cases declining that we'll be back to our very welcoming of everyone coming back to the area. You know, we saw last summer, a lot of our second homeowners either came up and stayed up here for an extended period of time, or on the other hand, a lot of them were selling their permanent homes and moving here to make Washburn County their permanent residence. So that was kind of an interesting piece of the puzzle to see happen.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if, you know, some of these changes in things, I'll give you an example. We decided that late August we wanted to get away, and there was a place we've stayed before where we could only get in the off season because the summer, they're always booked up every summer by people who do it every year. But they actually had some openings in August, and we were able to go to a place that we normally wouldn't have been able to go to. And I just wonder if there are people who discovered new opportunities, even in the midst of where other people may have been canceling. You know, new people may have been finding their opportunity to get to the Northwoods, to Washburn County.
Oh, I have a story for you, Dean.
Oh, good.
This one. I had a resort owner tell me, I think it was this fall sometime, that they had two cabins booked, and it was two groups of friends who typically do not visit rural destinations. They typically go to larger cities, mm-hmm. and that's just the way they travel. That's their preference. Well, she said, due to everything going on, that she decided to book their vacation in Washburn County, just outside of Minong at a little resort there. And what ended up happening is the woman told the owner afterwards, you know, I never would have given the Minong area a chance in the past because it's too rural. It's not what we were looking for. But you know what? We absolutely fell in love with it, and we'll be back. And they booked their reservations at the resort for the following summer.
That is a nice story. As Washburn County's chief tourism promoter, Michelle Martin, your job has some new challenges for 2021. So what adjustments are you making to your normal promotion and outreach for this year?
You know, one of the biggest things we did, I'm going to just kind of go to the end of last year really quick. We wanted to make sure that we were keeping our visitors safe, but really keeping that same level of service, inviting people to experience our wonderful outdoor recreation, and still be able to provide that level of service that they've been used to at our visitor center. So we actually were able to expand our outdoor literature rack and put in some tools. In fact, one of those is a video doorbell that people can go ahead if they're standing outside, ask a question really any time of day, as long as one of us is awake to catch the notification. And so that's been really cool to see the engagement with that and people just really enjoying that contactless experience, but still being able to reach us if they need to. I anticipate a lot of those tools really carrying over to 2021. We are seeing an influx of people requesting information, which we expected. Last year was actually a banner year for information requests. And so people are really planning. They're really looking to get out and do things. So we, you know, we're continuing on with our marketing in very strategic markets, and we are very hopeful for a great summer.
Michelle Martin and Benny Anderson are our guests. We're talking tourism here on the West Side. 800-228-5615 if you'd like to join the conversation. 800-228-5615 or email ideas at WPR.org. That's ideas at WPR.org. We focus so far on travel and festivals, but really all the hospitality industries, hotels, restaurants, other events, were hammered by the impact of the pandemic last year. Benny Anderson, how have those types of businesses been adapting in the Eau Claire area?
Well, the nice thing about all of those businesses and having been a part of that that in my career is that they're built to adapt. They're some of the quickest moving and you know, very survival mentality of all businesses. So a lot of the restaurants pivoted to, you know, outdoor dining and to, you know, different occupancy models and you know, Grubhubs and all of that. The hotels worked through their staffs to make sure that they, you know, were able to survive and you know, some of them even opened hotels during all of this. But they've come together very well, as we tend to do in the Chippewa Valley, to make sure that we all survive this together. The restaurant sector of the task force has been one of the leaders of the whole thing. They have really just put aside any of those competitive barriers and you know, our Tavern League and Wisconsin Restaurant Association leaders serve on a council with the health department in our group, which is kind of rare for Wisconsin. And we've all worked together to say, okay, what can we do that's best for the community? And everybody's really taking it to heart to pull that weight.
I want to talk about the impact of the federal government stimulus programs that have had on the industries that you represent. And I'll ask each of you, but Benny Anderson, you first, what's that impact looked like?
You know, it's two-sided. You know, the stimulus money for the lodging grants and the arts grants and, you know, even like the DMO grants for our organizations has been wonderful. You know, we wish there was a little bit more for the hospitality and the restaurants to keep them, you know, not just afloat, but keep them whole. But I think that we've done wonders in that world in getting those grants and making sure that our partners have access to them. PPP the same. That unemployment one has been incredibly beneficial, but also is a struggle now for some of the hotels because that, you know, they can't get their people back. They had a lot of job loss, and so there's a little bit of concern going into the summer that it'll be a really busy summer, but it'll be a little bit of a hard summer to staff and run. But you know, we'll take the help where we can get it, and where we can't, we always find a way. So I think it's been great overall.
Michelle Martin, has the influx of federal help impacted your clients enough to keep them going?
Yeah, I would really echo what Benny said there as well. It was very helpful, I know, for a lot of the businesses that I've talked to. I don't deal as closely with our businesses on that end of things, as we have great partners at Washburn County Economic Development Corporation who kind of handle that. But I do, especially early on, I was talking to a lot of businesses, and that was really helpful. And I know for us, you know, that's how that kiosk was built outside of our visitor center to really be able to assist people better and keep our staff safe. So I think that it's been a big, big help for our businesses.
I want to talk about stimulus on the other side of the coin, and that is the second batch of those $1,400 stimulus checks just went out yesterday. Michelle Martin, are you seeing any evidence that the folks are planning to use some of that money to come play in Washburn County?
Well, evidence in the form of visitor requests for information, yes. They're rolling in pretty heavily. As far as people saying that that's where they're getting the money to travel, I have not heard that per se, but definitely we're feeling that travel bug really across the board from people we're talking to. People are excited to get out. This little nice weather over the last few weeks has really helped people get into the mood for travel as well.
Benny Anderson, when we talked last June, you were impressed with the partnerships of business and local government forming that task force you referenced earlier, working on economic recovery in the Chippewa Valley. What are some of the fruits of those efforts?
Well, I mean, professionally, it's been one of the most amazing things to watch. Eau Claire's always kind of had that attitude about it together. But you're really seeing the way that things are handled. And you know, it used to be negotiations and kind of, you know, big, you know, lobbies and talking about how to get these projects across the finish line and a little bit of that competitiveness. And now it is just so open and you know, completely transparent. We make these jokes that, you know, I've been in the Zoom meetings with Task Force for Health Department and city leadership and everything for the tune of about 4 to 5 hours a day still on average, or 4 to 5 hours a week on average now. And yet to meet these people in person, I just met a couple of them this week finally. And yet my children know their names when they're on Zoom calls, you know, so it's the weirdest and yet most amazing process to find these partnerships and honestly friendships in this year, and then know that when they were forged in this type of environment, then when we get to the world of growth and success and you know, truly partnership out of option, that this will be a really amazing time to regrow a city and in those departments.
Yeah, Michelle Martin, you mentioned earlier that there are things that have changed that will probably not change back just because there are new ways to reach people, new ways to have conversations, new ways to show off what it is you have. I'm wondering what sort of local initiatives like the one Benny Anderson was describing for Eau Claire, any local initiatives like that, task forces or things like that, that happened in your neck of the Northwoods?
Yeah, there's been a little bit of that. There's one group that's been meeting fairly regularly and not just on these issues, but, you know, really just social issues as a whole, as far as what we need, you know, what our residents are looking for and what they need and how we can help. But, you know, one of the biggest things, going back to what Benny said, was the partnerships that were formed during this time are absolutely amazing. You're seeing silos just absolutely broken down, crushed, relationships formed that I don't know that they would have been, or they would have taken a really long time to do. I mean, for us to be working as closely as we have with health departments and city governments and stuff like that, that just didn't happen as much in the past. You know, you talked to each other when you had to talk to each other, and that was about it. And now, you know, I think about those other departments and organizations right away when we're planning something. And I think that's a really, really good move for the future.
President Biden yesterday doubled down on his promise to increase the number of vaccination doses to 200 million shots in his first 100 days. In other words, and there would be enough vaccines that everyone could get at least a first dose by the end of May. Michelle Martin, how closely do your clients take promises like that to heart?
You know, I guess I don't really have a great answer to that. I haven't really been meeting with in person that many people to have those side discussions. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful, personally, I'm hopeful that the vaccine rollout, goes very quickly. A lot of our events and businesses, they're really dependent on us getting a handle on COVID-19. So the sooner we get a handle on it, the sooner we can return to being able to go to those outdoor concerts and all of those great things.
I talked to someone on my staff here who has a daughter who lives in Louisiana, and she drove down to visit her, and she was heavily surprised by the lack of masking, the lack of social distancing as she tried to stop at gas stations or whatever along the way. Is that message of masking and social distancing, again, rural areas in Wisconsin tend to be a little more conservative, tend to be a little more suspicious of mask mandates, that sort of thing. Are there messages that your group is sending to your clientele saying, hey, this might be something you want to consider, staying with in order to keep attracting people? Or is that just not a factor in what we're looking at here?
You know, I definitely think it is still a factor. Those messages are still alive and well. Much of that comes through our public health department, of course. And then we just kind of echo what they're doing. We're going to be keeping safe practices in place at our visitor center. And I can say, even though we're a rural area, when I go to the grocery store, when I go different places, it's odd not to see somebody wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that's not true everywhere, but at least the places I frequent, it is the norm for people to be wearing masks.
Benny Anderson, do the members of Visit Eau Claire see the vaccines as magic bullets to jumpstart their economy?
I would say vaccines and all of it, you know, have been part of that magic bullet formula. We've been promoting that safe tourism, you know, since the get-go. The thing that we have to remember in our world, and this has been proven in our economy, is that, you know, while it's important to gauge how our citizens feel about it, which we've been very lucky that most of them are very supportive of those initiatives, we're marketing to tourists. And so the tourists have to, in order to come here to spend the money and do all of the things that we need them to do to support our economy, they have to not only have that feeling of safety, whatever level it is for them, you know. So, I mean, there are some people that are going to travel no matter what with no restriction. But there are a lot of people that they didn't feel comfortable, or you're trying to make them feel comfortable in those situations. And we've had a lot of businesses that maybe were a little slow to adopt it in the beginning, or maybe kind of fought the mandate. And that was their opinion, but the opinions of their guests have definitely pushed that to say, you know, our safety is important to you as a business owner. And so we've worked really hard to have that consistent messaging with all of our partners to say, you know, hey, listen, it's not even necessarily about what our opinion is, business owners or citizens is. It's how do we keep this community and this economy open? And if we have to, you know, participate in some of that stuff, then let's at least do it openly and continue the growth.
So as we conclude this outlook into the spring and summer tourism season, let's have you both take a minute or so, look into your crystal ball and tell us what the season will be like. And Benny Anderson from Visit Eau Claire, we'll start with you.
You know, I refer to myself as Captain Optimism. I have, you know, since our interview a year ago, where there's just no getting us down, no matter how bad it is. And the nice part is we're seeing that it's based in fact now. You know, the tourism sentiment index for the end of January had returned to pre-pandemic levels, which was kind of a peak. And then the month after that, we were seeing some numbers on our websites of 1,500% up, you know, from that month, where there's just this pent up demand of people wanting to get out and wanting to do things and wanting to reconnect with family and friends. And we're excited for a heck of a summer for people to be able to do that, you know. And we've seen indicators that people will continue to travel safe with, you know, 3 to 4 hour road trips, as opposed to maybe as many flights as they would have took, you know, being outdoors, as you know, if they're not indoors, you know, and continuing to do that. But just being number one in the nation for vaccine rollout as a state, with especially some of our other state rollouts, is amazing for what we can do this summer as a state, as an industry, and you know, just for a comeback. So we're incredibly optimistic and very excited to get this show, you know, back on the road.
Michelle Martin, what's it going to be like for Washburn County Tourism Association members this year?
Oh, it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to go with the optimism, just like Benny. Again, you know, we really saw a lot of traffic last year unexpectedly, and I think that's really going to carry over to this year, hopefully bringing a great economic impact for our businesses, but also really getting people out, enjoying the beautiful outdoors again, and enjoying each other. I think what Benny said about people visiting friends and family, that is going to be absolutely huge this year. Mm-hmm. I've already heard of families who just received their vaccinations and they're seeing their grandparents for the first time in a year. you're going to see a lot of that. Family reunions are definitely going to be a place to be looking. So we expect to see quite a few of those in our county.
Benny Anderson, I am so excited to meet so many friends as babies this year. like, it's not even funny. We had a baby ourselves this last year, and like the number of people that I'm like, you haven't even met my kid yet. Like that's literally weeks of tourism for the next year, and I cannot even wait to do it.
Benny Anderson, Michelle Martin, thank you for joining us. Coming up, a special announcement about the future of this program. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back on The West Side, and as we close today, we close with an announcement. Today is my last program as host of The West Side. After 35 years at Wisconsin Public Radio and 46 years in broadcasting, well, the time has come to find some new ways to have fun. But I'm very excited to introduce the program's new host and producer, Clara Neipert. Good morning, Clara.
Good morning.
So, Clara, you're what our longtime producer of The West Side, the late Henry Lippold, would call a blue gold of the finest stripe. You came as a journalism student to UW-Eau Claire. When I first got to know you, talk a bit about your experience at UWEC.
Well, I had so much fun at UW-Eau Claire, and I felt really lucky to go to the J school there. I started off working at the Spectator during my second year of college, and I've had many roles there. I was a reporter, a copy editor, even the sports editor when we needed one. And then that same year, my second year, I also joined Blue Gold Radio Sunday. I started off as actually the PR manager, but I just wanted to be on the radio as well. I couldn't stay off the radio. So I eventually hosted a show on climate change with my roommate. And then finally, my senior year, I was the Anne DeVroy Fellow in 2019, and that meant I got to have a brief internship at the Washington Post.
So during your time at UW-Eau Claire, you became the first Wisconsin-based student to be hired as our WPR summer journalism intern, and that included work on the West Side. Talk about some of the highlights of your work from that time.
Well, that was such a fun summer. So I did help with behind the scenes producing the West Side, and I also contributed to Wisconsin Life. I think my favorite show that we did was about the dairy industry, but really overall, through that internship, I learned so much more about the state. I think my favorite day on the job was when I got to help reporter Rich Kramer cover that event where Big Boy, the largest steam locomotive, came to Altoona. That was so cool. So I had a lot of fun that summer.
Now, you reported for the Leader-Telegram, and most recently at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, also known as Wisconsin Watch. How do you think those experiences will impact your work on this show?
Well, Wisconsin Watch really taught me to be a thorough reporter and dig deeper into complex issues, and that's a skill that I'll use every single week here. Also at Wisconsin Watch, I helped out with a project called News 414. That's where we did something called service journalism in Milwaukee. So that means you write stories about how to, for example, sign up for help with rent or where to grab free meals, very like service oriented. So I want to have this element in the West Side too. I want to help our listeners find what they need in order to live healthy lives.
So what do you have in store for us next week?
Next week, we're talking about education, specifically COVID-19's impact on local schools. So a discussion will include the federal relief bill, in-person or virtual learning updates, and the plans for next school year.
That's your new host for The West Side, Clara Neipert. Looking forward to hearing all the good shows you have in store.
Thank you, Dean.
So as I've been contemplating what my final thoughts would be to share with you, one word kept coming to mind. That's the word honor. Back in 1986, I had the honor to become the first Western Wisconsin-based employee of Wisconsin Public Radio back in our new studio at UW-Stout. I was honored to be a part of the new experiment to place reporters and hosts throughout the state to better serve those communities, an experiment that's now has more than 30 employees working beyond our headquarters in Madison. I had the honor of being with the group that moved our offices to Eau Claire in 1990 and being named the first regional manager of Western Wisconsin's Wisconsin Public Radio enterprise. And I had the opportunity to be part of creating Western Wisconsin-based talk shows like Mental Health Today with Dr. Manette Ponick, Kevin McKinley on Your Money, which went on to become an immensely popular Ideas Network program, And of course, Spectrum West, which started as an idea by Eric Wheeler back in 1994, continued to evolve throughout the years because of hosts like Jack Beaver and Kathy Stahl, to the showcase it is today, hosted by Al Ross, who is, I think, the best pure broadcaster I've ever had the honor of having as a colleague. Then there's this show, The West Side. Now, back in 2002, we pulled together WPR's award-winning reporter Mary Jo Wagner and a couple of retired UW-Eau Claire staff members whose contributions turned out to be priceless. Mort Cypress, who was always the go-to political scientist for reporters throughout the state if they wanted analysis of Wisconsin politics, and the late Henry Lippold, whose work teaching broadcast journalism at UW-Eau Claire had earned him a spot in the Wisconsin Broadcasting Hall of Fame. The goal was a call-in talk show to give an ideas network treatment to Western Wisconsin issues and a Western Wisconsin perspective of broader issues. We gave you access to your legislators, not only to hear what they say, but to call and ask them your own questions. Well, the resulting partnership of Mary Jo and Mort and Henry ended up being a great dream team, and they built this program into something really terrific. After Mary Jo's retirement, Rich Kramer picked up the mantle and carried on that tradition of hosting the West Side in 2010, adding his own style of journalism that resulted in a number of awards, including Eric Severide Awards, which are granted by the Midwest Broadcast Journalism Association over a six-state area as far as the judging goes, and he won those awards several times. When the news department needed Rich's full focus on reporting a couple years ago, I got the opportunity, with the help of producer Catherine Thomas, to once again host a show for my homeland of Western Wisconsin. As WPR's regional manager for the past 30 years, it's been my honor to work with 100 dedicated volunteers and 150 students and interns, all tied together by volunteer coordinators Peggy Berg, Katie Madsen-Cyrus, Chris McCallum, Claire Couillard-Lindstrom, Ellen Zamaripa, Grace Fair, Debbie Brown, and Kate Spranger. I'm honored to be working side by side in the Western Wisconsin Bureau with such journalists as Rich Kramer and Elizabeth Domes Harder, engineers like Mike Mueller, Mike Lazor, and Glenn Guy, and fundraisers like Diane Nordell and Marv Spielman, who support all of this important work. I'm honored to work for an organization that continues to prioritize fact-based, in-depth journalism and civil conversation at a time when such commodities are in short supply. And finally, it's been my greatest honor that you would commit to listen to this program. There are many things you could be doing with your time and attention, and I've never taken that loyalty for granted. I gladly hand off the mantle of the West Side to Clara, knowing that she and this organization remain committed to serving you every week and every day in the manner to which you're accustomed and the manner you deserve. I'd like to thank our guests today, Lisa Giese, the Health Director for Eau Claire City County Health Department, Michelle Martin, the Executive Director of the Washburn County Tourism Association, and Benny Anderson, the Executive Director of Visit Eau Claire. Kate Spranger produced today's program. Tommy McGowan managed publicity. Join Clara Neipert next week as she looks at the important education issues of Western Wisconsin. Thank you for listening. It's been an honor. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.